and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Colin!
It's a Monday, October 20th. The Terminator around, it's Judgment Day. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Billy Napier, gone! Mike Norvell, stays around! Mike McDaniel, should be gone! Did Florida have a bad weekend, or did the state of Florida have a bad weekend? We got a lot to do today, should be a good time. It's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, and Christian Catt. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. On your radio dial for the next 2 hours, streaming live on YouTube. Make sure you can watch and see our pretty faces there and the ESPN South Florida app, which you can download for free today on the App Store. Boy, did a lot go down over the weekend. You had the Shohei Ohtani on Friday night put together one of the best postseason performances, I think, in the history of the sport. Probably the best individual performance in the history of the sport. You had the Miami Hurricanes, who were sitting high. Top two in the AP poll. Goodbye and hello, Jeff Brohm, who knocked them off Louisville. We're able to pick off Carson Beck four times, and Miami now falls closer to 10 than they were to 1 in this AP poll after losing over the weekend. The Florida Gators, despite winning against Mississippi State, they fired their head coach. Billy Napier is officially gone. He has moved on. Florida heads into their bye with new leadership under the helm for the Florida Gator football team. They got Georgia coming up in Jacksonville, TIAA Bank Field. That is going to be Halloween weekend. So that's the first time we will see Florida post-Billy Napier regime. He is gone. And it's the time of the year, you know, 7-8 games into the year, where teams either start firing their coaches or start releasing letters saying that we can't fire our coach because financially it doesn't make any sense. You saw one end with Florida. You saw the other end with FSU. FSU coming out and saying Mike Norvell, for now, is okay. We are going to look through the entirety of the football program at the end of the year. Despite the four-game losing streak, Florida State is now just going to defer any major decisions. Boy, oh boy, did I get it all? And that's not even to consider that the Miami Dolphins played in a Category 3 yesterday against the Cleveland Browns and stunk up the building. Yeah. And you'd think that the Browns were used to some pitiful performances. I don't know if they've seen one as bad as what the Miami Dolphins put together yesterday. Mike, and how are you?
I'm great, brother. I had a great weekend, too. If I could throw another thing in there, Inter-Miami playoffs starting this week. Messi with his first hat trick of the season in the last game of the year. So a lot going on here in South Florida. Kyle, if I can, on the Florida business
quick. Let's start with Florida.
The Florida business and Billy Napier. This will be their eighth head coach since Urban Meyer. And it got me thinking. The whole Florida State news came out, and you're right. The AD basically came out and said, listen, we're busted. We have no money. We renovated the stadium, and we do not have the $50 to $65 million it might cost to buy out Mike Norvell. So I got to thinking. What's the easier thing to turn around? Because on one side, you have Florida State. So say, hypothetically, at the end of the season, they figure out some funds and they get rid of Norvell. Hypothetically, let's think Florida State and Florida both need head coaches. What's the easier job to turn around? At Florida, you have a lot of resources. Let's start with the Gators first. You got a lot of resources. You play in the SEC. I don't care what anybody says. I know they won a basketball championship. That is still a football school, okay? It's not getting twisted. Florida is still a football school. So you have that working for Florida. And for Florida State, you play in the ACC, where comparatively it would be easier to turn things around than Florida, who plays in the SEC, who plays a gauntlet of the schedule, I would say weeks 5 through 12 outside of the this year when they play the Citadel. I probably think the easier job to turn around would be ACC and Florida State, but I think there's something to be said about Florida and the resources. But the most shocking thing I think I said was this is going to be the Florida Gators' eighth head coach since Urban Meyer. They moved on from Urban Meyer about 09, they moved on from Urban Meyer about 2012. 13 was the first year he was at Ohio State. Took a year off, then he went to Ohio State the year they couldn't go into the postseason. So, Colin, I'm interested to get your opinion on that. You're going to have two, in my opinion. I know Norvell is still there. He's only there because they can't afford it. They'll find a way to afford it at the end of the year. I can almost promise you that. You're going to have two of the most elite college football jobs in the country open in Florida State and Florida. Who do you think could turn it around
sooner? Let me fight back real quick. I don't think Norvell's good. I'd have a hard time. They don't have money. You know how much it would cost to get rid of both the coordinators? With Malzahn with a big contract and with Tony White, defensive coordinators, making $2.7 million, it would cost them $61 million to buy them both out. $61 million.
You don't think for over the next 12 weeks they could figure something out to
$61 million?
Band together?
And then $61 million, and then you got to go find the next guy. And then the next guy is going to be owed, upward of $8 to $12 million.
But my pushback is they're just going to continue to lose four ACC games a year.
I understand. Florida did it. Made a lot of sense with Florida. They deferred a year after last year. They gave it another honest rip. Didn't work out. They owe them about $18 million. They could afford that. That is a lot more doable comparatively. This would be the biggest buyout since Jimbo. And you want to took A&M 5 years to get out from under that. And A&M is a school that has money. And I don't know enough about Florida State's finances. Alabama would have a hard time coughing up $61 million. Ohio State would have a hard time coughing up $60 million. This is Florida State. They have money. They don't have that type of money. I understand what they're saying, and you might almost be too tied to the fact that you're going to need to move on from Norvell. But Florida could do it because financially it makes sense. This is just as much of a financial decision as it is a football decision. Has Norvell, done anything to allow him to stay? Absolutely not. But it's just financially, you extended them after the undefeated season. You're kind of stuck in this hole here. And I think Florida, we talked about it a little bit last week. The thing about Florida State is they mismanaged their expectations by peaking in the first week of the season. Now, you can't lose, four in a row. You can't lose Virginia on the road. You can't do that. But the expectation would have been a 500 season bowl eligible. If you ask a Florida State fan middle of August, they would have been okay with that. And everything changed when Alabama walked in and they smacked them around. Now, with Billy Napier, we're going to keep going back and forth here, but with FSU, it's $61 million. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know who they have on the payroll call that is going to cough up that money.
So you think it's impossible? That's a fair shout.
I would be under the impression that they're going to have to do it.
They're
going to have to do it.
My thing is, what's the difference between Penn State and Florida State, you think, cash-wise? Significant? Because Penn State was able to band together the money to get rid. Now, and Christian, our household, Penn State alum, Christian said that the rumors about the Adidas thing I was hearing aren't necessarily true. That's where I read a report that Penn State is going to be sponsored by Adidas and they're going to foot a lot of the bill. But that got debunked. So, if Penn State can do it, why can't Florida State do it?
I would say Penn State has more money, and Penn State also has.
And they're renovating the stadium, too. Sorry to cut. They're renovating Beaver
Stadium
as well.
Penn State hasn't made a move at head coach in 12 years. And this is. He's been flirting with, he hasn't won the big game for forever, really, since he's gotten there. He's been flirting with the idea that they frankly couldn't win a big game. That was 12 years in the making. That was, all right, enough is enough. Florida State has dealt with this a number of times now where they gave Norvell. And I'll be a fair shot, but with too much money attached to him, it's not like these schools can just keep doing it. This is why when you sign these guys to major extensions off the basis of 1 year, you're digging yourself into a hole. And let's say Indiana falls off the cliff. They're going to be buried with that Cignetti contract.
They are.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that could happen to any team in the country that's not a blue blood, so to speak. Florida State is not that. And the fact is,
they think they are.
They're not.
They think they are, but they operate like they are. That's the pushback.
It's an ACC school. ACC school makes about half the money yearly comparatively to being in the SEC or the Big Ten. That's just off of the conference deal alone. And it's a school that has had to pay substantial amounts of millions of dollars to roster football teams. And on top of that, what we've seen with the players, they haven't been good enough. Mm. The teams haven't been good enough. That's a testament not only to the talent evaluators, to the coaches, but that's also a testament to the amount of money and where they're allocating it and how much money they could actually put into the team. Maybe it's less than we thought. This team's not any good.
No, it's
maybe not. Maybe that's coaches are not being able to get the best out of the players, or maybe that's the other side of it, the new age of college football. They haven't had the money to get the best of the best players in the Florida State colors.
Okay.
Maybe that's part of it, and if they can't afford that, all of a sudden we're going to give. So here's what I'm. To just make the points full circle, you're going to pay $61 million to get rid of the coordinators and the head coach. You're going to pay let's say $12 million annually. I'm going to say 10 to be safe. $10 million annually to the guy who replaces him. And then you're going to need to spend upward of $5 to $10 million just to roster a team that will be competitive. That's an $80 million. And on top of the renovations, that's $80 million in investment before we even blink. That would make me nervous. That's before you assemble a staff. These coordinators are going to make $1 million plus a piece. It adds up. I understand if we're looking at it from a football perspective, Norvell is not doing it. Norvell is not accomplishing anything. Norvell has been a disaster for Florida State.
For two years.
They've just been fortunate that everybody else in Florida is just as much of a dumpster fire. And Miami's in the best case of everybody. But on Florida's side, they were in this position last year. They had a heavy buyout. They didn't want to spend the money. We waited another year the contract went out. They tried to put the money into the players. Didn't work. Now they're moving on. It's a little bit more of a financial flexibility that's allotted to them.
All right, then let me rephrase and ask you this about Florida State.
You see my point?
I do. And I like that you brought it full circle because maybe you are right.
That's monopoly money we're talking about.
Yeah, maybe you are right. Maybe I'm living in la-la land where I think Florida State can afford a $60 million buyout similar to Penn State. Maybe I'm dead wrong there, and they go into next year with Mike Norvell again. So let's get rid of my hypothetical. Let me ask you a new one. Is there any way for Florida State that it could get so bad with Norvell this year that their hand will be forced where they have to do it for the fan base, that they have to do it for the donors who are spending millions of dollars on players, on all? Colin, you know how it is now with the NIL stuff. People are spending a lot of money on Florida State football. There are boosters spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, on these football players, on these contracts. Is there any point this season it could get so bad that they are forced to figure something out to get rid of Mike Norvell? Colin, they haven't won an ACC game in close to 2 years. Mike Norvell is four. This comes from Andrew Crosby, our teammate here at ESPN West Palm and Florida State grad. He told me Mike Norvell is 42. He's 44. He was 42 the last time they won an ACC game. I almost fell out of my chair. That's bad. And I go back to everything going sour for Norvell when he made the wrong move of not playing the players the year that they didn't make the college football playoff.
Not missing that playoff killed that program.
It did. And I think it was self-inflicted, personally. I know Florida State fan doesn't want to hear that today.
They got screwed out of the playoff.
No, they didn't. But that's neither here nor there.
I agree they should not have made it. The way they handled it, they got screwed out of it. They went undefeated. They got screwed out of it. Whether you think it was deserved or not, I personally think it was. It's not like, and granted, half these teams get blown out anyway. But the point being is that led to a series of events that led to where we are today.
It did. And it made the roots black in the program. It made Mike Norvell's roots black within the program. That's what I go back to. But, Colin, is there a way, if he loses every single game from here on out and they win three games, I mean, is there any way that he could get the can midseason?
Midseason, definitely not.
Really? If they lose their next four games in a row, too?
If Stanford in the middle of the night wasn't enough? That's the one thing I would say.
Well, listen, our director of ops, Dave Druda, did show me the footage. They probably scored a touchdown at the end of that game. They weren't able to look at after the technical
difficulties. Here's the thing about Norvell.
Should have went to overtime.
Here's the thing about Norvell. He had two seasons where he won 10-plus wins. It was the 10-3 year and then the 13-1 year. Outside of that, I know it was rebuilding at the beginning part, and then it's sort of been slip and slide ever since. Outside of that, it's been a whole lot of nothing. College football, when he was coaching in 2021, 2022, 2023, it sounds crazy, is a lot different than what it is today. It is so much more pay-for-play. It is so much more hired gun. It is so much more free agency than what it was year by year by year. Ever since, Florida State has not shown an ability that they're able to reload rosters, that they're able to reset rosters. They were the beneficiaries of having a great roster with some returns, and then they were able to capitalize on a really good two-year span with a lot of the same players.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about Mike not having a quarterback the last 2 years. DJ Uiagalelei was a nightmare. And, I mean,
I think the fact that they had Travis both years helped.
Yeah, Jordan, and that's the elephant in the room. Mike hasn't been good without Jordan Travis. He was great with Jordan Travis. It was a 22-4 record with Jordan Travis. You said 10-3 and 11-1.
Yeah,
I mean, very good. But that's on the head coach. You're hand selecting these guys. You hand selected TikTok touchdown Tommy Castellanos in the portal. You hand selected DJU, who didn't want to play football and just wanted to collect checks. That's on the head coach.
What's the plan?
Losing,
then?
Hear me out. Losing to Pitt at home. That's on the coach. Losing to Stanford at Big Ten slash, or sorry, ACC after dark. That is on coach. That is coaching.
I'm not saying Mike Norvell is a great coach. I'm not saying that. I'm saying quite the opposite. I'm saying they can't fire.
But you get why Florida State fans gung-ho today.
Fine.
And they want to figure out a way to get that.
If Florida State fan hates that much, then cut the check. They can't afford it. Neither can the school. They want to point fingers saying, oh, get rid of the coach. They cannot afford it. What Florida State fan in history wanted to not extend Mike Norvell after the 13-1 season? I agree. He is not a good coach. You're losing games in the ACC. The weirdest stat of all, he's like 5-2 against the SEC. That's the weirdest part. But outside of that, Mike Norvell has done absolutely nothing to get this team motivated on a week-in and week-out basis. On the other side of things, at least you got to give Napier a little bit of credit. Sounds like he's liked within the building. They had their moments where they were really competitive against really good teams. Florida State hasn't necessarily had that. Financially, it made sense to get rid of Napier. This was writing on the wall. I'm sure they told Napier about this 3 weeks ago.
I mean, we heard it from you. I joked around with you earlier last week. I said, you know what, Billy? We're going to let you coach Saturday. Win or lose, you're out.
They probably told him that after the Miami game.
Agreed.
They probably told him that after the Miami game, USF Miami back-to-back. They probably said, bye week, you got to the bye week.
Yep.
We better go undefeated. That's the only way you're going
to survive. And hear me out on another layer. USF Miami, LSU quarterback throwing 5 interceptions. Totally agree with that point. It's cruel, but at least they were on the same page with Napier. Norvell, he's like the black mark on that shirt that you love, that you just can't get. And no matter how many Downy wipes or Tide wipes you use or Tide pens, you can't get rid of that stain. That's what Norvell is right now. A lingering effect within the program that you can't afford to get rid of. Colin, I just think there's a boiling point with everyone, with everything in life. If he loses his next 4 matchups, they're going to find a way to get him out and to fire him midseason. They have to. It's an embarrassment and a disgrace that Florida State has not won an ACC game within 2 years by now.
Here's the thing.
It's unacceptable.
Did we not say the same thing last year about Napier when they released the letter saying Napier's going to be around regardless of what happened?
Agree, but this isn't... Like, James Franklin, what did him in was losing to Northwestern at home. But Franklin went to a college football semifinal last year. Did they not play anybody? We could talk about that. Franklin consistently had years, the last 3 or 4 years, where they were losing 1-2 games a year and going to good bowl games. Won a Rose Bowl. Norvell's not doing any of that right now. There is no winning with Norvell right now.
We're on the same page there. They just can't afford it. $60 million. Well, that's Mike,
they can figure it out.
Ohio State would have a problem coughing up that money. And that is the top program in the country in terms of spending. They would have problems trying to collect $60 million on a firing. Because it's not just $60 million. It's $50 million to get rid of the coaches, coordinators, and then you got to get another guy. And then you got to get somebody in. And in order to woo somebody to the dumpster fire that is Florida State in a bad conference, what you're doing is you got to float $10 million in a briefcase saying, come on over here. I know there's a storied program attached to it. They've won 10 games twice since 2016. So I can't sit here and say that the program brand awareness is going to protect the next guy. Because the next guy's walking in thinking, boy, is this house not really fun to live in? And the same guy's going to say that with Florida. The only place where somebody's not going to say that is probably Penn State. But with the University of Florida having the 8 head coaches since Meyer, and then now with Florida State, who is tied to this coach, and they said they're fully committed to Norvell. I have to believe them because that's their way of saying we can't afford it. And if you're a booster, and you saw 2-10 last year, and I know you're 2 years removed from 13-1, if you're a booster, are you waiting here? And you got millions of dollars to throw around. Are you waiting for the school to call you and say we need $25 million just to get rid of him? Not even to get the next guy. Not even to get the next player. You want to get a good transfer quarterback, that'll cost you $3
million. I think there comes to a point where enough is enough.
Has the embarrassment not
can
compounded?
It get any worse is what you're... I think it can. If you continue to... Colin, they've lost 4 games in a row to terrible opponents. Pitt is bad. Stanford's one of the worst teams in Power 5.
Pitt's not bad, but Stanford stinks. I agree. They're 1-11 in their last 12 ACC games.
Of course you like Pitt.
like Pitt.
Of course you like Pitt.
I like Holstein.
They stink, dude.
I like Pitt. Right, underrated.
Listen, we're splitting hairs, bud. But you get what... Brother, there is a boiling point for a guy who has millions of dollars and doesn't know what to do with it. And if it's not Stanford, I don't know when it's going to be. But all I'm saying is this guy could still get the sack. He still could get the sack this year. That's all I'm saying. After talking to Florida State fan today and how hot they are about what is going on.
Florida State fan's been hot for 3 weeks. They've been hot for 2 years. They don't make the decisions.
At Stanford, oy, oy. At Stanford.
I'm not sitting here saying he's Shula. I'm saying he stinks, but I'm saying he's owed $55 million.
Plus the Frank Reich.
$55 million.
Plus the Frank Reich. Guy who's rebuilding the program has no business winning games.
I think you're under the impression that every school has the money that Ohio State
has.
Dude,
Penn State pulled it off. Florida State can't. Penn State's renovated. And listen, Christian.
Penn State has money. Penn State has more money than Florida State.
Are we sure about that?
I would guess. Yeah.
They're probably in more of the same realm as we think. Would you agree on that, though? They're probably in the same realm as that. There's more money.
They recruit so much better than Florida State. Why is that? Why is that other than money?
I agree that there's more money in the Big Ten comparatively than the ACC. There are no pushbacks here. But there's some big wigs over at Florida State, too. I really do think you could still see him get sacked. You can write all the letters you want. Napier, the reason Napier didn't get the sack was because he turned it around. They can write all the letters they want. If that brother didn't win the last...
At that point when they released the letter saying we're committed to Billy Napier, we want to keep him around, that was... We talked about it. That was along the lines of the players probably banded together and said, this is our guy. And they finally saw a little something with Lagway at quarterback, and they thought, Lagway likes Napier. Lagway's probably going to leave without Napier. Our hypothesis was Lagway probably said, I'm out if Napier's out. And all these players banded together because they like Napier. Everything you hear is that Napier's a good guy. That's probably the reason why they gave him the bye week. That was probably as amicable as it probably could be. And I'm just assuming here, but he seems like a good guy. Every former player likes him. The administration seems to like him. Everybody who talks about Florida says all the positions are in place. They just don't have somebody who could put it all together.
So you're keeping Norvell around to be a glorified caretaker for the next.
You
want to
know
the
difference? You want to know why Napier? You want to know why Napier? You want to know why Napier got fired and Norvell didn't?
Why?
$20 million versus $60 million. That's why. That's why.
Florida State's got it, man. I refuse to believe that. They got to have it.
They don't.
How embarrassing
are
you? How embarrassing are you going to let this get? That's embarrassing.
It's a one-year move, $70 million. You don't think they invest probably $10,
$15 million. I had to hear that guy all offseason how they're building back better and, oh, we're going to bid. You stink.
If you want a basis on how much money these programs have, it's worth looking at. Penn State spent $13.7 million on this year's roster. Florida State, $10
million. $10
million.
Can you spend 6 years worth of rosters, and that's not even including the next guy?
And maybe this is unfair. You're my money guy.
I don't know enough about the money. All I'm saying
is, you try to send me straight the money.
Alabama can barely afford that.
All I'm saying is, how much more embarrassing is Florida State going to let this thing get? How many times can you get embarrassed on a national stage? And going back to that damn playoff game where he played nobody. I know I keep bringing that up, but that's when it all went sour. You ruined the roots of the program by punting that game and losing by 59 points. Shame on Norvell. Shame on that man. That's a storied program. That's one of the top six programs in college sports. They're a joke. Penn State at its worst wasn't that bad.
Can't afford it.
Go Penn State after the Joe Pye incident wasn't as bad as that. That's all I'm saying.
It was a lot worse than that.
But what if on the field, brother, on the field. I'm not talking about a lot worse. Not talking about the off the field stuff. I'm talking about on the field. On the field, this is worse than that. That is unacceptable for a team like Florida State.
I think we're throwing around a team like Florida State entirely too loosely now.
What do you mean? Like that they're not.
It's been 10 years. We haven't seen anything.
Not a lot of teams that have won a national championship in 10 years. We could agree on that, though.
I'm talking about a good season. Good season. There are more times in the 6-win playoff bowls than they are even inching close to 10 wins.
Life after Jimbo has been rough.
Rough.
It's been rough, but they clung on. Sadly for them, They clung on to the wrong guy.
Norvell was supposedly, he was definitely a good coach coming out of Memphis. People liked him. People bought into it. It took him a little bit to kind of revamp the program. Replacing Taggart wasn't easy. And then they were able to put something together. You saw the highs of the highs. And ever since, they've just sort of been in free fall. But when you want to re-extend the coach every 5 seconds, this is the hole you bury for yourself.
It is. It's just and listen, now I'm going around in circles, but like Kyle, it's just embarrassing. It really is. It's embarrassing for the Florida State fan. It's embarrassing for the university. How much longer are you going to do this before you say enough is enough?
You know what the good news is?
What's the
good news? All the other Florida schools had an embarrassing weekend. All the other ones.
Oh God, poor Miami had an embarrassing
weekend. We'll get to that later. Well, Miami had an embarrassing weekend, and Florida fired their coach after a win. That's. The Miami Dolphins.
I got a lot for that. I watched all that godforsaken game too, so I got a lot for you there.
Listen to Russo and Rizzo on the ESPN South Florida app. Download it for free on the App Store. You can listen to us live anywhere from your phone, any place, anytime. Listen back. Listen to Theoretically Speaking 2 to 4 weekdays. Listen to our extended high school coverage. The Florida Panther games were the new home of the Quest for three-peat Florida Panthers. Listen to that on the app. Listen to all the other biggest games, biggest bouts in South Florida. All your beats in one spot, the ESPN South Florida app. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat, 888-760-3776. Should Florida State cough up the money, bury themselves in whatever debt they can get just to get Norvell out of there?
Safe face.
Who's in a worse spot, Florida or Florida State? We'll get into that a little bit more on the other side of things. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
888-760-3776. Billy Napier gone. Is Mike Norvell next? Or are they keeping him around? 888-760-3776. Number to get into the program. If you're a Florida fan, Florida State fan, Miami fan, watching your college football games over the weekend, ready to blow a blood vessel, check your blood pressure, you can do that over at Men's Only Medical.
Absolutely, folks. It's a concierge healthcare service. I told you I was dealing with a little something. I hit up Doc Al. I got his number. You know, this isn't, you got to call this number to get in contact with this person. No, it is as easy as contacting my guy, Doc Al, who I got his cell phone number because of that concierge healthcare service. I texted him, Doc, when you could come see me. He could have got me in as soon as that day. So that's the kind of service you're getting over at Men's Only Medical. Easy peasy, 1, 2, 3. Now, it's the one-stop shop healthcare center for men. That's like the biggest thing I think with Men's Only Medical. You see all around town, you see all this stuff for women, the one-stop shop for women where they got the heart stuff, they got the skin stuff, they got all that for men over at Men's Only Medical on North Dixie Highway. If you're struggling with wrinkles, if you're struggling with hair loss, if you do have those heart issues, Doc Al will be able to take care of you. Visit them online at mensonlymedical.com. That's mensonlymedical.com. Also, Doc Al, huge Dolphin guy. They're actually going to the Atlanta game, Colin, and
should be a classic.
John O'Terry, our MC here at ESPN 106. We were texting Doc Alladay, and he goes, "Yeah, boys, they're a disgrace. They're a disgrace, and what a disgrace they were." I know we'll get to that later on, but folks, Doc Al is a local guy, Cardinal Newman man, West Palm man. Trust me on that. Hit him up, mensonlymedical.com.
Who does Florida go target as a head coach here? The thing is, let's find a profile.
Kenny Dillingham?
Instead of finding a person. What type of coach do you think is the best move for Florida to replace Napier?
I would say a proven CEO. How about a James Franklin? Would he have success in the SEC round two post Vanderbilt? And guess what? I know Vanderbilt's good with Pavia this year, but that's a lot more resources than he had comparatively 10, 12 years ago.
I don't think Florida would be happy with him.
The flight trackers have picked up a private flight from State College Airport to Tallahassee. That has happened today. More in the dirt sheets for you. So maybe James Franklin is.
I was going to say Florida State makes a ton of sense for James Franklin.
Let's update everyone on what dirt sheets is again, Christian.
Inside sources.
Inside sources through Florida, the Penn State.
SEC is never going to go after James Franklin. I would say Tallahassee would make a ton of sense, but what are you going to do? Hire James Franklin for $10 million. The school with the big buyout that everybody was worried about how they're going to pay the James Franklin buyout, they had the stipulation in the contract that he has to go get another coaching job. And then the difference in what he was going to do to make at Penn State versus what he's going to make at Florida State, that is what, or let's say he goes to Florida State or whatever school
won't
he goes
that
to,
help?
That will be the offsetting on the buyout. So they don't have to spend as much money. Does Norvell have that even in his contract? If he doesn't, and this is a, that's what Napier doesn't. Napier does not have a, you have to go find another job, and if you don't, we're not owing you the buyout, we could void it. Or if you do find it and you get a better high-paying job, we don't owe you the buyout. Mm. I don't know if Norvell has that in his contract. Franklin did. That's honestly a good backup plan for Penn State there.
So Florida State sounds like Franklin makes more sense there. Now, if we could focus on the Florida job, which you asked me, do you think one of these SEC guys turns coat like a Vanderbilt, or like a Drinkovich, you know, at Missouri?
All the Florida fans, I'm sure their eyes on Lane Kiffin. My argument would be, if you're Lane Kiffin, he makes $9 million a year coaching for Ole Miss. It's a team that is pretty steady in the top 20. They clearly don't have a problem acquiring talent. He doesn't have all the pressure in the world to make a college football playoff internally and externally. He's a goofy guy. We know how he was at FAU. He's a goofy guy, and he has a weird personality that just works there. Everybody laughs at him. You know, he's at a yoga studio before the game against Georgia, and everybody got a kick out of it. And on top of that, he can kind of just operate in his own little world, and he's in the SEC.
Yep.
So does he really want to pivot left, go to Florida, and enter a rebuild project? That would be my... Some coaches are coded that they want the biggest job, most money, opportunistic. Is Lane Kiffin like that? That would be my question. He's in the SEC. Is he in the end game?
I mean, we heard the rumor, no names please, that, you know, last year they kind of tracked Kiffin, and he said no. So I that's the only reason I think it wouldn't happen. Now, if they throw all Midas' silver at him, maybe... You know, if they give him a ton of money, if they darn near double his salary, I mean, how much more can they double? He's making $9 million a year. The best of the best is making about 12. So I don't know. I don't know where Florida goes because they got warts, man.
Yeah.
They've been through seven head coaches since Coach Meyer.
I would cut seven. Out, if you think Marcus Freeman's leaving Notre Dame, if you think Lane Kiffin's leaving Ole Miss, I would personally cut that out. You'd have to look at lesser tier SEC or upper tier Power Four. Arizona State, you'd look at Kenny Dillingham. You'd probably look at Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. And Missouri is a school that probably he probably needs more financial resources. Florida would be a good lateral move. That's the type of person you probably go after. And if you really want to go after a coordinator, you could go after the Georgia defensive coordinator. Everybody loves Glenn Schumann, but, I mean, how has Georgia's defense played this year? That's where you really get into the nitty-gritty of it. But if you want to get a guy out of retirement, that's one thing. I would say you got to get a guy that's upper tier Power Four or lower tier SEC that's overperforming.
A guy who I think they could be targeting that I'm reading here, Jed Fish, Washington coach, Florida grad. Now, Washington looked shocking against Michigan over the weekend, and they haven't necessarily looked very competitive the last couple of years he's been there, but that's a name,
you know,
pal.
What's not going to help?
It's a name.
The fact is DeBoer had an unrelenting amount of success there. And he still had major growing pains going to the SEC. Mm-hmm. So that's your question. I don't know enough about Fish's history, but is he SEC coded?
So
SEC coded guys are important to hire SEC coaches.
So he was a graduate of Florida in 98, spent 2 years on the Gator staff as a GA under Steve Spurrier. He's embarked on a coaching career evenly split between college and NFL, spending 13 years in each of the various stops and positions along the way. I just like... You're going to bring in the Washington coach? They kind of stink this year. That's like, for a program like Florida, I'd understand the hire because he's a Florida man.
I don't know if they'd do this. How about this? Jeff Brohm at Louisville.
Well, that guy, if he's in a
10 wins, 9 wins, they're 5-1 this year. They always upset somebody.
I was about to say.
They're always good in a big game.
Big Bro McAfee said, listen, if that guy's in a big game, they're going to be in it. And they really are. I mean, look at what they did to Miami.
That is not a bad shout.
They forced Beck to throw 4 interceptions.
That's not a bad shout.
Beck threw 4 picks against that defense.
Is that a crazy target? I don't know enough about his history, if he has Florida ties or if that's important to them. I know he was a Western Kentucky Purdue guy before. But, I mean, Purdue was in a Big Ten championship game. This is back when it was East-West. They were in the tie for the Big Ten championship game with Illinois.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done this. So he turned, and that program has stunk since he left. And then he goes to Louisville, who's always been a pretty solid program, but And he's seen success.
And he's recruited pretty well, too.
Is that a crazy one? And no. Louisville has money. Louisville has money.
Like, you want to know what I'm realizing? Like, there's just not a lot of guys out there. Like, outside of a big name like
for
James Franklin.
For that caliber of
right.
job.
Who's out there?
That's your answer.
Who's out there? Like, unless you're going.
And you don't think, you can't get anybody up north, because you got to imagine anybody up north who's worth a call is probably getting called by Penn State and they're going to take precedence over Penn State.
And also, like, Urban Meyer's not coaching football again. I don't think Jimbo Fisher is coaching football
again. Nick Saban's not coaching football again.
Unless you're getting James Franklin or one of these former greats, you're not going to have that big splash. You're not. It's just not out there. And I think it's time for a new coach to come up the ranks. Right now, Colin, there are three coaches in the NCAA that have won national championships. One of them is Dabo Swinney, who's done this year. Another one is obviously Kirby Smart. And then Ryan Day. That's it. Those are the only three. Well, put that in perspective. Those are the only three head coaches that have won national championships within college football. So, like, the next, I just want Florida fan to be realistic, because, like, you're probably, it's not going to be that big smash. It's splash. It's going to be Jed Fish. It's going to be the bomb from Louisville. It's going to be one of these guys, and you're just going to have to deal with it. That's what happens when you've gone through seven head coaches since Urban Meyer.
Jeff Brohm might be my favorite one I've seen.
Would he take it, though? That's the...
Probably.
Doubling his salary from Louisville?
That's ACC. I don't know how much he makes at Louisville. I'd guess around $7, $8 million. And you go from ACC to SEC. That's one. Yeah, if people want to throw up Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman is not leaving Notre Dame. It's the best spot in the country to coach. Notre Dame is booking hotel rooms for the college football playoff right now. That's how good that situation is. They won their big game of the year. They got two losses. They're probably not going to lose the rest of the way. They don't have to deal with the conference championship. They have plenty of money. He's got plenty of stability. Marcus Freeman is not leaving for that job.
They don't belong in the playoff, neither here nor there. But I agree. They hand
They're booking.
No conference.
Booking the hotel rooms. They're done.
No conference. Hand select their schedule. If they lose two games, they're going to be in the college football playoff.
888-760-3776, University of Florida job. Now there's a little bit of a vacancy. Who should Florida look at? Are you under the impression that Florida has to hear Urban Meyer and Nick Saban say no? They have to hear these top-tier coaches say no before they go down the list? Or should they get an up-and-comer? Let us know. 888-760-3776. If we're being honest with ourselves, unless Lane wants it, unless Lane wants to enter into the circus and see if he could turn around the ship, you got to think logically. Is Florida that great of a job?
It's not. I told you, too many warts, too many coaches who have been there 2-3 years and have been canned. And granted, do they deserve the sacking? Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Absolutely. Dan Mullen got a bad rap. The Mullen situation was ugly.
And they walk in and they're trying to get their own field. And they gave Napier, he had 55 games there, 50-some-odd games. There was 24 and 23 in his career. It 500 coach, that doesn't cut it. But you're in the SEC, and Napier got screwed with a gauntlet of a schedule, too. Mm-hmm. SEC's not getting any worse. It's going to continuously be teams with good payrolls, with good coaches, with the top-paid coaches in the sport.
A lot of money.
And a lot of money, and about 8-9 teams deep every single year. And you're going to play 4 or 5 of them.
And the playing field is evened in the SEC.
Yeah.
Especially with Saban gone. And even with Kirby. Kirby's looked vulnerable this year. They lost to Bama at home. And Ole Miss gave them everything they could handle. They're no longer that unstoppable entity.
This is one of the worst. And speaking of Georgia, it's probably one of the worst Georgia teams we've seen in years. And they're still going to get a playoff. Because they do have a fortunate schedule the rest of the way. They won their huge game.
What's shocking about Georgia is that Kirby Smart defense.
Yeah,
they're getting gashed in games.
And that defensive coordinator is a hot name on the coaching market, Glenn Schumann. And now you look at it and like, oh boy,
they're getting gashed in games.
Yeah, people are attracted to that Kirby coaching tree, thinking it could be another Saban. But I don't know.
You want to know something? I got a name for you for all these jobs.
Every single one.
Matt Patricia.
Oh, no.
Best defense since 1993. This year, unstoppable.
You think
force?
Patricia's in the spot where he's thinking, I'm comfortable.
I hope so, as a Buckeye fan.
That former head coach pipeline into good defensive coordinator.
But listen, like, Kyle, if Ohio State goes on and do great things this year.
He doesn't have to be the CEO.
He doesn't have to be there.
Do you want to be? He's run NFL franchises before. It hasn't went well. I understand. But he has always been a second fiddle to a great situation.
Maybe college is the home that he needed.
He was great with Belichick. He is a great piece. He's a great right arm to a great piece to a great, you know, piece of work.
That's Ohio State.
He's a great second fiddle.
And I hope he's around. But my big thing is if someone throws an insane amount of money to go be a head coach, I think he'd take it. I think he'd take it. Brian Hartline maybe could be another name.
He's a northern guy.
He is.
And I'm not going to get anybody without SEC ties.
I would like to think he'd be the heir apparent to a Day if Day does move on to the NFL.
I would be shocked if they really went digging up north.
Let's think of the great teams. Let's think of the great teams of college football right now.
I mean, that's more of an NFL philosophy of hiring the next great coordinator. You got to think of ties, too. You got to think, or the SEC coded. You know, DeBoer is having growing pains in the SEC. He has seemingly figured it out. Can we get off DeBoer's case for a second? But, I mean, we're sitting here now trying to hypothesize who the next guy is. I think we got to understand of what type of profile we're looking for. Are you looking for a former head coach with experience? Florida said, Steve Strickland, who's the athletic director, said, we're here to win championships. We're looking at a guy who we know can win big games. That, I think, should be the ultimate bolded material at the top of the whiteboard when you're doing the search. Can this guy win a big game?
I don't think there's a lot of guys on the market that are proven to do that. You're going to have to steal someone.
Brom.
Like I said, you're going to have to steal someone.
I'm in. Jeff Brom should be the next coach of the Florida Gators. The head coach of Louisville should be plucked.
And I know we're kind of bouncing around, but we brought up Florida State and the James Franklin rumor. Did you see him on game day?
Who's this? James
Franklin. Did you see James Franklin on game day?
I did.
So, Christian, if I could loop you in here too, because Christian, our household Penn State grad, Penn State man, what'd you make of him saying we're going to go win a national championship somewhere else? That stood out to me.
It's not going to happen because no program that has the ceiling that's able to win a national championship would trust James Franklin with their program, because James Franklin was given for 8 years a championship ready team and was not able to do that. That's what I would say about that.
Fair enough. What are your thoughts on that?
I hated that whole interview, by the way.
Oh, it was vomit inducing.
So you told me about it. I did not listen to it live.
I watched the whole thing.
It's like a 9.5-minute thing. And I listened to the whole thing. And if you want to go to broadcasting school and learn on how to not, with journalistic integrity, do an interview with a coach who was just fired, look no further than that interview. Because those are the biggest softball questions that were preset, pre-organized. It was the biggest James Franklin PR tour I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had everybody trying to get to his back. Nick Saban saying, oh, they did you dirty. Nick, he hasn't won a game against a top five team in 10 years. He is trying to be you at Penn State, and he cannot win a big game. And you're sitting there throwing him layup after layup about having to answer about what you're looking for and how you were screwed out of the job. Everybody knew that Penn State was looking to fire James Franklin after the first loss. That was 2 weeks prior. He hadn't won a big game. Everybody wanted to hit Franklin's head. Now, the problem is, Franklin's a year removed from going 11-1, going to the semifinal.
That's
where you get screwed. Can you have a down year? And Penn State told him that he can't. But I sit here and say, could you be that shocked for a guy who had 10, 12 years to do this?
To back up Penn State a little more, too. Christian, you guys had plenty of down years prior to the last 2.5 years, I feel like. Clifford years, losing to Illinois on the goal line. Franklin definitely rumbled and stumbled before the last 2.5, 3 years is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that whole interview was 9.5 minutes of two things being accomplished. It was Franklin looking noble, looking like he was taking the high road, while still everyone else at
the desk being
able to just take the shots.
You're 100%
and
right.
Bring down Penn State for him.
You're 100% right. They had them, and you don't think that was planned? They had them fight the battle. Hey, we'll give you Franklin, but he's not going to say anything negative about Penn State. For you guys, it doesn't matter. You guys can say whatever you want.
I was shocked Saban took the route he did.
He's pro coach. That makes sense. Coach over program.
I get it, but he understands how much these.
That was a joke.
Nick Saban understands how much these big games mean. I was a little shocked by that. I got to be honest.
You walked away from that thinking, what a waste of time. And here's what Nick Saban even had to say, in place of what James Franklin was thinking. He said this during college game day when James Franklin jumped on with the guys this past week, a week post being fired. Take a listen.
You made the statement, it's not like up to you to decide what's fair or unfair when Reese answered that question. I'm going to answer it. It's unfair as hell for you to go to the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, get in the Final Four, come out being ranked number one this year, an expectation that you created by what you accomplished at Penn State, And for those people not to show enough appreciation for that and gratitude for all the hard work that you did, I'm saying it's unfair.
Right. Nick Saban, after he said that.
Christian, go ahead, because I know you're itching to say this.
A couple of things. Like, come on, Nick. Like, dude, there weren't number one.
Yes.
That was a miss.
But, like, that was a whole broadcast thing. Then you know how much I love game day. God, I love game day. Get us on game day. But what I'm saying is they thought Penn State was the number one team in the country. They were never number one. It was Texas
before
the season.
And then
Ohio State after Ohio State beat Texas. They were never number one.
You want to get into the nitty-gritty of that? Fine. He's saying, well, you put yourselves in these expectations. You're the reason you have these expectations. You're right. That should be end of sentence. All right, James Franklin's the reason that they have these expectations, and then you lose the two unranked opponents at 20-point favorites back-to-back weeks, and we're supposed to forget about it? Oh, well, he set the expectation, so he's allowed to demean the expectation. Is that what we're saying?
They didn't grill him enough about, like, Reese.
Why'd you lose? How'd you lose two straight games as 20-point favorites? James, go ahead.
That, and also, Reese Davis, like, one of the final questions, he finally brought up the inability for Franklin to win a big game. And all James basically said was like, yeah, we gotta rethink how we operate these things before the game. And it was ridiculous.
It's a small thing, and it's a calculated thing. His refusal to use the word I. It's always we. It's always we.
And he took the road.
I think he's trying to take the Penn State faithful and turn them against the program.
And it's like, he kept saying he's in the business of young men and giving young men opportunity. Like, he was parading for
a job.
Yeah,
you could youth group us, boys and girls club us down to the cows come
Christian,
home.
Christian,
you still got to win a big game making $10 million a year.
That's fine. It could have been a giant old James Franklin, you know, coaching tour. I need to be hired. Yeah, this is why he's
what a load of it.
But at the same time, ask the damn question of not winning a game since 2016, for God's sake.
James, how'd the team spiral down after that Oregon loss at home on the whiteout game? What happened in that week of practice? After you lost the first game, what was the message going into the team to the next game, and why didn't it resonate?
Colin, that
should have been your first three questions.
Colin, I love those guys. You know how much I love game day. That is a game day. I watch it every Saturday. It's got a special place in my heart. All right? But if you're going to do those softball questions, don't even have them on. Just have him do a hit on SportsCenter.
Well,
that's
what he said. They said, if you want Franklin, you're going to have to ask these questions. It's like a presidential candidate if you ever get one on. Yeah, if you want James on, here's what you got to – you got to stay away from the UCLA and Northwestern loss. You can't ask him about losing the locker room, losing the fans. You can't ask him about any of that.
That was, Christian, the talk of the group chat for about 2 hours on Saturday was –
it's a waste of time.
James Franklin said he's going to go win a national championship elsewhere.
Utter waste of time.
Just to loop it back to Penn State season, why are they worse? Why did a team that was one drive away from a national championship berth considerably worse, even though they returned everyone except for one player who plays for the Giants, Abdul Carter? That's it.
And that's all you could ask James Franklin.
I feel for Penn State fan because, like, you got, like, Christian, you should have celebrated last year going to the Final Four, winning two playoff games, but, like, of course you didn't beat anybody along the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
That's so damn Penn State to, like, I'm a defender of Penn State. I go, they went to a semifinal. And you want to know what all my friends say? They didn't beat anybody.
State fan, I hear that Franklin interview, I think, all right, everybody wanted Franklin gone. I'm more reinforced in my opinion that this was the right move. If I was a Penn State fan, that's how I would feel.
I just didn't understand the sucking up. Ask a couple of tough questions. Like Coach Saban, I think so highly of him, and Reese Davis, all these guys, Kirk. My God, Herbie's a Buckeye, for God's sakes. That's the hard
interview.
Questions.
Terrible
the
interview.
Hard questions.
Terrible interview. You let Franklin control the discussion, not the other way around. That's what I don't like. And it's Jarrod Levine, Accident Attorneys. If you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, lost to UCLA on the road as 20-point favorites, my friend, it's Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. They are here to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back no matter what, and they get yours too. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you that maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because all it takes is that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of Anajar and Levine. We haven't even talked about what happened to the Miami Hurricanes over the weekend. A terrible loss to the future head coach of the Florida Gators, Jeff Brohm. I know he went to Louisville. Money talks.
So we figured it out on the show, folks. It's James Franklin to Florida State and Jeff Brohm to Florida. We figured it out.
I like it. I like it. For those reasons, those are my fill-ins.
Do you think you got to sell Florida State fan on getting James Franklin? Do they want James Franklin?
I think they'd be okay with it.
Oh, God, dude.
I think if Wisconsin went to hire, Wisconsin's in a similar position. Coach, Wisconsin goes to, he goes to get James Franklin, that would be a home run.
Coach Day, I'm so sorry for losing my mind after the Michigan game. I'm kissing the ground that you are Ohio State's head coach.
Russo and Rizzo coming back after this on ESPN 106.3.